If you're just joining us, I made a basketball player who is from Delaware into a foreign player in the first hour. The second hour of the national show brings me in the other direction here with a guy who many of you associate with our show. A piece of my childhood died here over the weekend, Stu Gotts, because Kamala, the Ugandan giant who wasn't from Uganda, he was from Mississippi and his name was James Harris. Mm-hmm. Kamala, the Ugandan giant, is someone who legitimately, Stu Gotts, sort of introduced me to wrestling being televised. This was back when Vince McMahon wasn't a commissioner and all powerful. This was back when Vince McMahon was just a sideline reporter on WWE wrestling. And the way that WWE got big is because I was sitting there on my weekends as a child who loved professional wrestling, watching godforsaken regional wrestling between guy who is good at wrestling like Dusty Rhodes and Wild Bill Snyder in the beige trunks from Opa-locka. And so I was watching truly terrible wrestling where a star would fight against somebody who never had any chance to beat him because he was also my neighbor and working a second job in plumbing. And so from there, cable television arrives and the wrestling matches get a good deal better, Stu Gotts. The wrestling matches are competitive and have some of the stars, and cable television took that regional wrestling package and actually made it something that felt not quite as big as WrestleMania, but bigger than what it is that you were watching with your dad on Saturdays, arguing about whether what Jimmy Superfly Snuka was doing was real or not real. Where is Abdullah the Butcher from, Mike? He is also not foreign. Abdullah the Butcher,
he had a barbecue place in Atlanta, Georgia.
All right. So we had
Abby's House of Ribs or something like that. Let me look this up.
Yeah, I think it's both a barbecue house and Chinese food. Yeah. I think he mixed. There was a little bit of fusion.
Just your run-of-the-mill combo.
Culinary joint. Fusion from Abdullah the Butcher, who, again, was not foreign in any way.
Well, he was born in Ontario. I mean, that's where he was born.
All right. Well, but Kamala was born in Mississippi, and his real name is James Harris. But I told you, Stu Gotts, that the thing that I remember about wrestling more than any other was Kamala the Ugandan giant, who would speak by slapping his belly. Okay, now wrestling, unbelievably racist. Just it sells racism almost the way, you know, boxing sells racism. So you get James Harris from Mississippi just being from a different country and he can't actually speak. He's just menacing and he slaps his belly to communicate. So Kamala the Ugandan giant is running around the studio chasing after a chicken. And Vince McMahon, who, again, is not in charge of the sport, he's just a sideline reporter, is screaming that they have to go to commercial. I believe that all of this is real. I mean, at that point, I'm only 34 years old. So I'm sitting there watching this as he chases this chicken all over the place. They go to commercial. They come back from commercial. And Kamala the Ugandan giant, his bloated face is right up against the screen, right up against me with a whole lot of feathers in his mouth. He's just got feathers in his mouth because clearly he ate a live chicken. So over the years, because we love to talk to the wrestlers, we love to talk to Kamala. But the last conversation we had with him was an incredibly sad conversation where we were raising money for him and having audience members buy his book because he basically came on here, Stu Gotts, this had to be 18 months ago. He basically came on here and said, I'm just sitting around waiting to die.
He was horribly sad, dealt with amputations because of his battle with diabetes. And actually, that battle with diabetes helped contribute to his most recent battle with COVID-19 that he just came to. Passing away from COVID because he kept going to get dialysis and fight in his fight for to get healthy with diabetes. He got this. It was a horribly tragic end to his life. He said, as you said in our last interview, that he was just waiting around to die, essentially. It was very sad.
I can't remember an interview that we did that was as shockingly sad as that one because he was in such pain and his life was so inconvenient. And he was running out of money that he was just saying that death would be relief for me. So in that vein, I mean, rest in peace. I actually, when I heard this news, it's the rare time where I'm like, okay, he got what he wanted there, where he no longer has to suffer, because I got to imagine, Stugatz, that those last 18 months of his life, based on that conversation that we had with him, where he had no problem articulating, my life just needs to end. I need to stop being in pain. I need to stop suffering. I need to stop needing others. I need to stop being an inconvenience. There is actually some relief. And I can't imagine what the family goes through on something like this, but there's some relief in him passing away after articulating here in one of the saddest things that we've done, that he didn't really want to be living anymore.
So you were able to find some, I guess, some positivity.
Well, it's not suffering anymore, right?
It's he's in a better place. Yeah.
The way that people want to go, Stugatz, I got a thing. Most people listening to this, if you had to choose, that you just want to go quickly. You don't want to start inconveniencing people. You don't want to start needing where you're killing others with your own death. You don't want to just be someone who's an anchor or a burden. And in this particular case, I've got to think that his life was bad enough that there is some relief for the people around him that he is no longer in some kind of pain.
It's a weird way to set up the funniest thing of the sports weekend.
I forgot all about that. I should probably do that. Let's do it now. It is a weird segue. It's the wrong time to do it, but I completely forgot that I had teased that last segment.
Hey, people. Tell us what in the sport made you laugh hard this weekend. It is a segment we call What Made You Laugh This Weekend. Ha, ha, ha.
Funniest thing from the sports weekend is brought to you by Dell. Dell supports Small Business Month with savings up to 45% of computers with Intel Core processors. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/small-business-deals.
So Abdullah the Butcher is indeed foreign then? He's from Ontario, Canada, even though he was... What was the food that he is or was making in Alabama? Did you find out what
it was? He was at Atlanta. It's permanently closed now, but it was a House of Ribs, and it was a barbecue/Chinese food joint.
Okay, very good. Yeah. At Lebatard Show, Tony, put it on the poll. Have you ever eaten or heard of a barbecue?
It's great Yelp ratings.
Barbecue/Chinese food joint. Chris, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend? Chris Cody.
Bob Ryan.
Oh, just
Bob Ryan. He's our favorite around here, Bob Ryan. He's become the king of the butt tweet. I'm convinced at this point he's just doing it on purpose and he's just playing us all like a fiddle. He tweeted this weekend just the @ sign. And it's like if you check his tweets, whenever he tweets these butt tweets, they become his most retweeted tweets. So I feel like he's ahead of all of us on this and he's doing all of it on purpose.
Tony, how about you? What was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Funniest thing was Draymond Green getting fined $50,000 for tampering on TNT for saying get Devin Booker out of Phoenix. He's not even the bubble. He's not even working, and he's still getting fined. Come on, Dre.
It is funny that whatever it is that he earned from TNT for that night of broadcasting work is going to end up costing him more than whatever it is that he earned. Stugatz, what did you think was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
To me, the Phoenix Suns being the best team in the bubble, the NBA bubble. The Suns have never been the best at anything, but
undefeated.
The best of the bubble.
They've had a bad run. The Suns have played a decade of meaningless basketball. Roy, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Mets pitcher Jared Hughes attempted to field a slow roller, failing and jamming his knee into the ground, creating a divot that caused the grounds crew to come out and fix the field.
That's your Mets, Stugatz. That is your Mets. You saw that play he's talking about, right? It was a routine sort of slow roller that he basically attacked the baseball with maximum clumsiness.
Yes.
It was unbelievable. Any one of us would have done that better without harming the field the way that he did.
Yeah, funnier yet, they're 3 games behind the Marlins.
Mike, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
The A's and Astros.
Oh, I wanted that one.
They broke social distancing mandates from Major League Baseball to participate in a benches clearing brawl in which no one actually threw a punch. I mean, if you're gonna break the mandates, get a shot in.
So funny. The whole thing is funny because Altuve is totally confused, can't field his position, is hitting 177, Stugatz, and making everyone wonder, wait a minute. were the Astros just totally a cheating contrivance? Like, this guy was the MVP of the league, and he's a garden gnome. He's like 4 feet tall, and now he can't hit a baseball, and he can't field his position, and they can't even fight right because all they did was try and damage each other by coughing on each other.
And you're right. Now people are wondering, was he ever good at all?
Unbelievable.
Paid that man his money.
You can't make that up, though, Stugatz. Breaking all the protocols to fight with the Astros.
It's amazing.
That A's team is good. That A's team is going to beat a lot of people that way. Going to make a lot of people want
to
fight them.
Are they going to be the random-ass champion we get because Major League Baseball shortened everything to 60 games? We're going to get one.
We are likely to get a random champion, yes. No idea where Stugatz just went. He decided the very start of the segment was the time that he was just going to walk away from his microphone with no explanation, no reason given. Mike Ryan has a delighted smile on his face that is also soaked in bewilderment. Tony, Roy, and Chris are all looking at the Zoom chat wondering, what is Stugatz doing that he can't be bothered to do the little work that he's asked to do around here? And it's not very much, I might add, but Stugatz has now disappeared for no discernible reason whatsoever. We will find out, I guess, in a moment, perhaps, that Stugatz has forgotten the time of the show, doesn't know where we are, because he was sitting there as soon as the music played, bringing us back, and then he got up and left.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, home, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Stugatz, what the hell are you doing? Are you forgetting that you've got a job to do around here? Where did you go? Oh, he can't even hear us. He's on the phone now. He's gone.
Something must have dropped.
He's gone and made a phone call. He's done here. We're going to talk to him in a little bit about his golf weekend, because I want to know if this golf weekend was some semblance of normal for him, just being on a couch, sedated, watching amazing golf shots. He has announced that there was a top 10 golf wow shot this weekend, top 10 all time. I'm going to ask him, I'm going to try and pin him down on what his 10 are, because as you know with Stugatz, he'll put 47 in his top 10. He loves saying top 5, top 10 without filling out the rest of his list. So we will do that in a second. But
that'd be a great time to just like write in the chat, hey guys, sorry, not going to be available here. Any sort of sense of communication would be, oh wait, can't hear anything. Thank you for the text, Stugatz.
All right. So let's see if perhaps, Mike, let's try and do the show this way. Okay?
I mean, he could chime in over the Zoom. If he has the Zoom, he could like,
no,
speak
do
there.
Me a favor. Let's do this, please. I would simply like to get his thoughts written in the chat with misspellings, recreated by Chris Cody, just okay. Reading things, Stugatz. So just through the chat, tell Stugatz that we're going to try and do the show around him as we always do. And we will do it through the chat, even though he keeps getting up and leaving the screen and leaving the chat. Just communicate with him by chat. I will do the show without him, because what is happening right now in college sports is pretty seismic. It is something that I was not expecting, for a pandemic to bring around some real power for the athletes where they have some leverage.
Who leads college football? I'm not saying college sports. Who leads college football? Mark Emmert? Like, who is stepping up right
Who's
now?
Who's in charge?
Who is stepping up and being the leader? Because Mark Emmert has been kind of quiet since the whole March Madness decision came down. And we saw how much power the individual conferences have, as conferences like the MAC and all these other conferences that aren't in the Power Fives decide, hey, we're not going to go through with our fall sports schedule. You still see ACC football, Big 12 football, SEC football, because this is what brings all the money in. Them sort of decide collectively, no, college football ends when we say it does. And now you have apparently two of the Power Five not falling in line with the Big 12, ACC, and SEC, saying, hey, wait a second.
What's DeSantis saying? Isn't he saying, bring me your Big 10 players? Everyone come to Florida. We're good with everyone playing in Florida.
In light of the news, and I know Dan Patrick has reported there was a vote from Big 10 presidents, and only two schools voted to play. They're still trying to decide. There's a big conference call today that may actually be going on right now.
Mike, I got to tell you, what I'm hearing is not they're still trying to decide. What I'm hearing is they're trying to decide how to announce that the thing is done. Like, that This has been coming for weeks now. It is not without its preparation. And I believe everything I'm hearing from people who know vastly more than I do about this, people who are invested in this vastly more than I am, is that this is already over. Now it's just a matter of trying to get the specifics out there.
Right. Well, I've heard that too, but I find it very hard to believe that this thing has been over for weeks when the ACC just recently released its football schedule. There were some conferences that weren't marching to the same beat of the same drum right now. And I think what you're seeing in delay, if this has indeed been decided, like some people are already putting it out there on social media, then what you're seeing right now is to mark out some sort of plan for what comes next, because they didn't know what was coming now, let alone what's coming next.
I mean, obviously, there's a lot of uncertainty. That goes without saying. Everyone knows that we are all up in the air as it regards all of this stuff. But if what I'm hearing is correct, if what I'm hearing from people who know more than I do about this is accurate, that for all intents and purposes, everyone around the money understands that they're going to have to kick this down the road until at least the fall, then what you need to know is the players acting now late, saying unions, writing things for the Players Tribune. The organization that has arrived late isn't going to make any difference, even as the customer wants now for the player's voice to be heard, wants now for the player's body to not matter because his voice is what matters, because we want college football back, even if it's unbelievably dangerous because we're sports fans and we could be dumb about this
stuff. You have different rules for different states and different ways of life for different conferences, right? So Ron DeSantis is out here while the Big Ten is squeamish about going through with the season and reportedly already deciding to push back until at least the spring. You have Ron DeSantis saying, well, let's get their best players because SEC, ACC, game on. Come on.
Mike, you can't, though, go. I mean, it's not possible. There is not the possibility that we go out there with only two conferences playing because, that's not possible.
If you have the Big 12, the SEC, and the ACC, do you really need anybody else?
Seriously? So all I got to give you is three conferences?
Yeah, I know we're losing Ohio State, and that one's tough, but I still think we can have a college football season with just those three.
That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. I didn't ask for any of this.
Hold on. Stugatz, the only contribution to that segment was you mumbling under your breath thinking you were off air?
Yeah.
Ugh.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It's that time of year. The NFL is almost here, and ESPN Fantasy Football is around the corner. Draft your team, compete with your friends, and take home the crown. Sign up now at ESPN.com/fantasyfootball today. Here's your SportsCenter update. Damian Lillard scored 51 points in the Blazers' 124-121 victory over the 76ers. The league will officially have a play-in game between the 8th and 9th seeds to determine the final Western Conference playoff spot after the Grizzlies fell Sunday to the defending champion Toronto Raptors 108-99. And finally, a magnitude 15 earthquake would destroy Earth. The UFC heavyweight title is on the line when Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier complete their trilogy at UFC 252 on ESPN Plus. UFC 252 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPB for more details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Amin Al Hassan has texted in that soul food and Chinese food fusion spots are abundant in major American cities. He also texts in that Abdullah the Butcher, who again is not from a distant, distant land, he is someone who has a Chinese fusion place in Alabama and is from Ontario, Canada. His nickname was the Madman from Sudan. That's Abdullah the Butcher. Wrestling loves doing that sort of stuff. Stugatz, I'm curious because we were talking about this last week. Did you see the video that went viral of two young black teenagers discovering In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins, where they have not heard the song, They don't know anything about the song. They're sitting down, and for the first time, they're listening to In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins. Did you see the viral video of the delight of discovery on the faces of these two kids when 3 minutes into the song, the drums make an appearance?
I did not see this video. It sounds like something I would like to see, but I have not seen it yet.
Well, one of the things that is the result of this, and this is a fascinating new thing that is happening as the world changes all around us and as social media teaches us new ways to sell things. In the Air Tonight, 40 years after its release, in the top five now on iTunes because 40 years after its release because of this. It had to be specifically because of this video.
Have you noticed that popular music is sort of in a holding pattern? Because nightlife is usually what drives song getting really popular. Going to a club or hearing a song for the first time, that really takes it another level. But with nightlife generally shut down across the country, what you're seeing is a holding patterns for songs that were number one before the pandemic still having the same runs because pop culture is sort of frozen right now as we wait for all the other things to get back to normal.
Stugatz, are you interested? Because HBO does a lot of great work. Most of the stuff that I'm watching these days is coming off of HBO. And I am bummed about the drought that's approaching, even as a place like Netflix, Stugatz, tries to get up off of its knees. You've basically got the entire economy held up right now by five companies. Netflix is one of them, Amazon, Google, Facebook. Like there are only five of them holding up the entire economy. And now Netflix is trying to get back to work. They're trying to get their people, build their own studios, make them safe because Netflix spills money all over the place. But an HBO documentary is coming out October 7th as we're headed toward a content drought. But HBO has a documentary on Craig Carton, the radio host in New York who went to jail over some pretty massive fraud. And Stugatz, is this guy going to get back to work? Like, is this documentary going to rehabilitate him? Because there are all sorts of rumors that Craig Carton is going to be allowed to get back to work now that he is just about done serving his time and a documentary is coming out because we'll all watch those, right? We will all watch the Madoff stuff, the stuff where people are dabbling in a hugely devious fraud. This guy's gambling problem evidently was so large that he was doing things that were not just fireable offenses, but were simply illegal. And now a documentary on HBO is going to chronicle his story, you know, as Radio Gasbag, who is even more famous now because he did something that was illegal.
I think Craig had a couple of years remaining on his sentence. I think he was released early due to the coronavirus, due to the pandemic. So he is out. I have read stories where Entercom, which now owns WFAN, very much has Craig Carton in its plans. Once he is officially able to do radio again, that he will be doing radio for WFAN in New York, which seems patently absurd. But at some point, there will be a weekend observation in which I tell you, Dan, Craig Carton is back.
That's unbelievable. It really is. It really is unbelievable. That's not – you go ahead and show me throughout the history of the radio business, the black guy who's allowed to do that. Show me one time.
I can't.
The black guy who's allowed to go to jail for just massive fraud.
It's not just a New York thing. Bruce Drennan, a famous Cleveland radio personality, spent 5 months in a federal prison because of a gambling ring. It seems to get a lot more chances in this industry historically if you're popular, no doubt, and white.
Stugatz, how about this? Speaking of WFAN, from the Mike Francesa Twitter account, a eulogy none of us would want. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Horace Grant was the symbol of the Yankees' fall from grace post-1964. He was mediocre, just like the Bombers, 65 through 74. R.I.P. You had to go on Twitter from the Mike Francesa account and write Horace Clark was the symbol of the Yankees' fall from grace post-1964. He was mediocre, just like the Bombers, 65 through 74. R.I.P.
Paid that man his money.
Those things don't exactly jive. I mean, they just don't. I do feel like that's going to be, if I go before you go, I am going to receive a similar eulogy from you. I mean,
put it on the poll at Lebatard Show, please. Is that the worst eulogy you have ever heard? Also, Stugatz, is it jive or jibe?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, you're the journalist. You tell me.
You're the one who said it, though. Thing. I might be the journalist, yeah. But you said those two things don't jive, and I think those two things don't jibe.
I think it's jive, but, I always defer to you on these things.
At Lebatard Show, put that on the poll as well, Tony. Those two things don't jive or jibe? The Detroit Free Press is reporting that the Big Ten has canceled its football season. No games for Michigan, MSU in 2020. Michigan State, Big Ten is out. They will not be playing college football this year.
The positive is there are no Wisconsin games. How about that?
Thank you, Stugatz. Barry Alvarez was saying that Wisconsin football makes up $100 million of their $140 million budget. So the apocalypse is basically upon us. I don't know whether the SEC or the ACC could possibly, because of regional politics, figure out a way to get teams on the field. But once the Big Ten pulls out, Stugatz, you're basically talking about a dilution that is just about not capable of being overcome. Like, you can't have these major conferences pulling out and all of a sudden we have nothing but SEC football next year because of the blatant money grab, no matter how much of many of us would want to watch SEC football.
How's that
year
different than any other year? The only conference that matters is the conference that's playing, SEC football. Feinbaum Show ain't going to be feeling this one bit.
I agree. I mean, just play the SEC, give Clemson the ACC, and perhaps with the Big Ten, what you do is just have the Ohio State-Michigan game. That's it.
Well, that one's out. We can't have that one because that one's out. No more Ohio State-Michigan.
Well, who's to say you can't have rogue programs now that you apparently have rogue conferences? I thought that one of these guys dropping out would mean the end of college football, but as Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend.
No, I think it does. I think it means, I think this is the first domino to topple on things that have been toppling here for weeks.
Notre Dame was going to be a part of the ACC this year.
I don't know where or how you would arrive at a place that resembles hope when even in those conferences you're talking about, even as DeSantis is saying, everybody's welcome in Florida, those conferences are going to have to give up player demands in order to get the players back on the field. You'd have to rewire the entire system, Mike. Those guys aren't going to go back on the field after what the Pac-12 did and what the Big Ten did in uniting its players and saying, we need money, we need stipends, not everyone's going to make money off of our bodies except us. There's no way that DeSantis, even as someone who is in charge of Florida and is in front of legislation getting athletes paid for their likeness, there is just no way that you could go back to the field without giving up player demands. And once you do that, you start setting the precedent. You set precedents that are really dangerous in college sports that will attack amateurism in ways that these coaches and these presidents tend to protect.
Yeah, I just don't know, because it seems as though this recent organization from the student athletes in the NCAA seems a little late in the game. But for instance, spring practices have been going on. They're going on here at the University of Miami. What concessions were made by the programs to make those kids go to spring practices? There's plenty of them there. right now. I don't know if they actually have to make concessions outside of the obvious. You know, if you're asking for anybody to attend a specific place right now, you need COVID measures in place.
You don't think the SEC players have realized what it is that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten players were arguing on behalf of? You think it's escaped their attention? The guys in the conference where the bodies are most likely to be in the NFL, the most professional bodies are in the SEC. You think they don't notice that they're being asked to rush into the breach and everyone's getting the dollars but them?
I think, and look, Trevor Lawrence put out the same message that Justin Fields put out, and Justin Fields now is a quarterback without a conference because they're not playing football in the Big Ten. They're looking for some of the same things. I think they realize they had this specific power to leverage the pandemic probably a little bit too late. I'm not sure they get a seat at the table right now in all these discussions, and part of what they were asking for was a seat at the table.
Stugatz, is your machine working? Because it's been a real exasperation trying to do this show with you today. I never know when I can go to you or when I can't go to you.
The last couple of segments, I apologize. I had some technical issues. But no, my computer is working. I believe it's Roy's that's having some difficulties because he's unable to send me the billboards. I am not blaming Roy. That is not a fine. I just can't read the billboard that I was supposed to read on the front end of the segment because Roy can't send it to me. I mean,
all right, Stugatz alleges that we just saw a top 10 golf wow shot this weekend. Let's get to Stugatz's top 10 golf wow shots ever. Number 10, Stugatz.
Tom Watson, 82 open, the chip in to win it.
That's 10? Number 9, Stugatz.
76 open, Jerry Pate, who I believe played with an orange ball, hit a 5-iron for the ages.
You're going to have to speed this up, Stugatz, because you've botched the entirety of this segment. Number 8, Stugatz.
My shot, third hole, Parkland Golf and Country Club, Albatross. How about that?
Number 7, Stugatz.
Larry Mize pitched to win the Masters.
Number 6, Stugatz.
Bubba Watson, lefty shot from behind the tree that essentially
number
won
5, Stugatz.
Tom Brady at the match with Barkley breathing down his neck.
Number 4, Stugatz.
Mike Ryan, a driver from 120 yards out, stuck it within an inch of the hole.
Number 3, Stugatz.
Ben Hogan's 1-iron at the 1950 Open.
Number 2, Stugatz.
Tigers chip in with a great call from Vern Lundquist.
Number 1, Stugatz.
Colin Morikawa's shot yesterday.
Weekend observations next.